Welcome to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast, and also on YouTube. This is episode number 246, and I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon, and I think Kevin's recording in a different room for a change.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Doug.
So what I did today was I completely reconfigured my office slash living room. So now I'm by the window, so it's a little bit more private. Hopefully the cat will not bother me as much. So we'll see.
Oh, we love the cat. You can't go anywhere without the cat.
Yeah.
So how's everyone doing during COVID-19? Still fine, right?
Oh, yeah.
So much.
So far, so good.
It's my first weekend in a month. I've had 2 days off in a row. I'm very excited. I've watched some movies. I even got up this morning and watched a movie. I'm happy, which we're not discussing this week. Have anybody else besides me watching Money Heist and Netflix, or just me?
I tried it, but I just haven't got back to it yet.
Well, I gotta say, I finished Dead to Me. I finished that season 2. I finished Killing Eve, I'm up to date. Batwoman, I'm up to date. Supergirl, I'm up to date. Flash, I'm pissed off, and to be continued. And Money Heist, I'm on season 3. So I'm just telling you guys, I'm actually watching TV for the first time in years.
Nice.
I got outside today. I had some fresh air. So you guys must be doing something during quarantine.
I finally caught up on Harley Quinn. Or, well, at least the first season. I'm like eight episodes behind on the second season.
Okay, I'm caught up on Harley. I'm caught up on Rick and Morty. I'm caught up on Pennyworth, Batwoman, Flash. I'm sure there's more. there's so little to do except watch stuff on television. So,
yeah, I caught up on Harley this weekend, and I watched Justin Roiland's new show on Hulu, Solar Opposites.
Cool.
Any good?
It's not as good as Rick and Morty, in my opinion, but still that bonkers sci-fi vulgar humor that I enjoy.
Okay.
So has nobody seen Devs yet? That's supposed to be the new show I'm supposed to be watching.
See what?
Debs is on Hulu. I think only Doug has access to Hulu.
I don't have Hulu because I live in Canada.
I'm sure somebody will pick it up here. We'll find it. So I guess we're ready to go. I'm going to get up, and so everybody can see the shirt. I'm ready to go.
Jankies.
Yeah, we know who Thelma is in this group of people.
Ready. Scoop. Starring Will Forte, Mark Wahlberg, Jason Isaacs, Frank Welker, Zac Efron, Amanda Seyfried, Gina Rodriguez, and Tracy Morgan.
Captain Cayman! Oh, by the way, people, we spoil everything if you're watching this, so if you haven't seen the movies, the guy with the big beard is supposed to be doing timestamps, not the other guy with the beard, the guy with the big beard. So if he doesn't do it, send him an email. And that's extrafeatures@gmail.com, and I'll forward it to him. Don't worry.
I'm the caveman in the movie. Yeah.
So I guess I'm the biggest Scooby-Doo fan here. We all know that. There's no doubt about it. And I'm a self-professed Scooby-Doo fan. I don't know who made this movie, but it was not what I expected. Like, I felt I was watching a Disney original movie. It was pretty lame at times. Really boring. I would like a mystery usually when I watch Scooby-Doo of some kind. But watching Dino-Mite look like an idiot with his dog was kind of cool. I'm like, oh, it's the Blue Falcon. Yay! I'm like, oh, this really sucks. I was just bored. I was just going, oh, come on. You guys are killing me. Really killing me here. I thought the first 10 minutes were kind of amusing. And then after that, I just got bored quickly. Except for the Captain Caveman scene. The Captain Caveman scene steals the movie for me. Tracy Morgan, absolute fabulous voice acting, totally perfect for Captain Caveman. But I thought, I didn't like they locked the dog and thing. I love the dog.
Muttley
is one of my favorite characters, and I'm just like, I don't care. I don't find this interesting. I wanted it to be better, but maybe their audience is for 10-year-old people and younger, and I think that's the direction they're going for, and that kind of upset me.
I feel like if this is your first introduction to Scooby-Doo, it might be fun, but this isn't Scooby-Doo. I thought studios learned from The Mummy not to put a focus on making a cinematic universe before making a good first solo movie. And because of that, this isn't a Scooby-Doo movie. It has Scooby-Doo, but like, I'm a 90s kid. I never watched Wacky Races. I was familiar with Muttley, but I never watched Blue Falcon. I never watched Captain Caveman. So, I mean, yeah, it was just flat, focused on making a Hanna-Barbera universe, and it's sad. it was boring.
Oh, one last thing before I let you guys speak. Did you notice the cameo of the Laugh Olympics video game machine in the background?
Mm-hmm.
There's a Laugh Olympics. I'm like, all right, guys, I'll give you that one. There's an Easter egg. Boom, pick that up instantly.
Isn't that also where Hong Kong Phooey was? Didn't he have a video game there?
I was trying to read the other video game. Was it Hong Kong Phooey? Because I knew it had to be something, but I couldn't quite see it that well. So, I don't know. I love a Hong Kong Phooey film. Another one of my favorite characters.
Okay.
Cody, what do you think?
It's Warner Brothers once again putting franchise above story. None of the Blue Falcon, none of the Captain Caveman, none of it was earned. They should have just focused on telling a good Scooby-Doo story, and this was not it. If it was a short film, maybe the first 15, 20 minutes, I liked that. I liked seeing the original opening credits redone in 3D animation. I enjoyed that part, but then immediately after that, it just fell flat for me. It wasn't a Scooby-Doo story.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I like the retelling, or well, the telling of the origin of the gang. I thought that was okay. And I did like the redoing of the opening credits as a montage of building up to where they are. And then, of course, it's the big question is, well, what now? We've solved every mystery. And so is the solution to turn them into superheroes or something? Because that seems to be what the movie wants them to be, joining up with the Blue Falcon, who's not even the Blue Falcon. He's his son, and he's vain and stupid. And Dino-Mutt at least was on par, but Scooby-Doo and Dino-Mutt met each other many times. They should know who they are.
I agree.
But this movie, you're right, it was all franchise building. It was not interesting. I'm like, why is Dirk Dastardly the villain for this?
Yeah.
And why is he using robots? Where's Muttley? Okay, there's Muttley. Okay, he's trapped in hell. Like, I don't care. I mean, honestly, these are forgotten characters for a reason. You know, Daniel Zenners, they don't know who any of these characters are. So maybe a young kid watching it might think that's interesting, but I don't think they will. Maybe Muttley might be a fun character. You know, he's a big, shaggy dog that wheezes as he laughs. But and then Captain Caveman, okay, given that was fun to see him. But again, nobody knows who he is. So you know, it's you and I know, and Doug knows, and people who watched those cartoons as a kid did.
Well, Daniel does.
Sorry?
Daniel thinks he's Captain Caveman, so he's good to go.
Yeah, that's my biography.
But I think that the movie, I don't think it was aimed at kids. I think it was aimed at getting adults to watch it, but not, wasn't that interesting.
No.
So you think me spending the $30 on it was aimed at me?
Yes.
What 10-year-old's going to know who Ira Glass is?
None.
Yeah.
I think the logic is that you would buy it to show it to your kids.
I did.
Oh, my God.
So I did buy it to show my kids, and I put it on. My kids are like, out of here, and they're gone within 5 minutes. So
they didn't like it?
No, they had no interest in it. Didn't want to watch it. So, Doug, what did your kids think of it?
They thought it was awful. They did not like it at all. I don't think they laughed once. Or maybe they laughed once. But that's it. Even when Scooby and Dick Dastardly were doing the back and forth Dick Rick joke, even my 12-year-old was going, "This is ridiculous. They're just trying for adult jokes, and it's not working."
So, how much did this cost in the U.S.? It cost $30 here.
$25 to buy, $20 to rent.
So, yeah, I just, you know, because I love owning crap, so I'll just hope that disappears off my computer one day that I can complain about it and get me something new. Yeah, I didn't think this is unwatchable garbage.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about the voice cast, though. I was just, Matthew Lillard is Shaggy to me. Gina Rodriguez does nothing at all to try to make it sound like Velma. And I just thought that was, like, okay, you're not even going to try to make her nasally. Like, her talking as Velma just felt so out of place.
And who was Daphne again? Daphne was okay.
Amanda Seyfried. She was okay.
She was fine. No, I mean, Zac I Efron don't like Gina Rodriguez red. Normally. You know what I feel about her. She's a terrible actress, and I don't need to see her ever again. So I'm choosing more crap that I'm not going to watch. Perfect.
Yeah, but like, it's taken me a while to get used to Kate Micucci on the show, but like I'd much rather Kate Micucci as Velma instead of Rodriguez.
Or Greg Griffin as Daphne. It was fine. I love Greg Griffin. So
it was funny. Matthew Lillard was tweeting that he hoped it was a success, but he was sad that they didn't bother to ask him to do the voice of Shaggy.
They should have. That's the problem with Hollywood. They shove these stars in that are not voice actors, and it stands out like garbage.
I like Will Forte fine, but he just sounds too much like Will Forte as he's trying to do Shaggy.
Hey, but Frank Welker was still Scooby-Doo, though.
Yeah, but he's talking in complete sentences. That's not Scooby. Oh, like, let's do character development with Shaggy. Let's have whole conversations. No.
And there were no good food jokes.
Okay, I thought the antic when the little bowling ball robots, and they go into the thing, and they're like, oh, we're out of calamari.
That actually wasn't bad.
Yeah.
But that was not the only interesting part. It was probably the first 10 minutes, and that's when Doug and me checked out. Everybody checks out after the bowling alley scene. Because the plot starts coming out, and you're like, this is terrible.
Why does it open to Tupac's California Love?
Oh, I didn't realize that was Tupac's California Love. Because the Tupac estate needs cash.
It's a Scooby-Doo movie. I want my Tupac.
Well, they also turned Fred, Daphne, and Velma into side characters. Yep. They were hardly in the film.
Yep.
And then there was the weird cop. I think that was Christina Hendricks when Dick Dastardly was doing the hot cop bit.
Oh.
Okay. I have mixed feelings. That was weird.
It's just a strange film. Are we done with Scooby? We can move on to another strange film?
Sure.
Go for it. Hey, Calvin, you want to go wintering to my lodge?
No, actually, I didn't go to your lodge.
No, but I know Dan came and Doug came.
I brought my skis. Starring Riley Keough, Jaden Martell, Leah McHugh, Richard Armitage, Alicia Silverstone, and Danny Q as the Riley's dad as the cult leader. Spoiler,
so,
I guess.
I want you two to go first, because I'm not going to be happy.
Do you want to go, Doug? Or Kevin? Okay,
I didn't see us.
Okay.
The basic story is a father and mother, well, they're divorced, and they're splitting custody of their children. The kids obviously side with their mother in this case. But unfortunately, in the beginning, spoiler warning, mother played by Alicia Silverstone ends up killing herself because her ex-husband is now in a relationship with somebody else. Turns out that the person he's in a relationship with is the only surviving daughter of a cult leader. The cult, much like I guess the Hellbop people who killed themselves for the comet.
Oh, I remember that.
And I think that was like early 2000s.
I think you're right.
The Hellbop. And in order to bring the family together, the father takes his children and his new fiance out to a cabin in the woods in the winter. And shenanigans ensue, I guess we should say. I thought Riley Keough in this movie was fantastic. I thought she was great. I like that you never see her face until she gets in the car with the family and turns around.
Yeah.
I like the mystery of that. I hated the kids. They were little shits. They were awful. But it served the story. When I saw the title Hammer come up before the opening credits, I knew I'd be in for a ride because I love the old Hammer horror film, so I was primed for something. And I enjoyed it. I don't know about you guys, though.
Oh, you know my opinion.
Did you want me to go, Simon?
Yes. I told you. Yeah. I'm going to shit all over this. I'm letting you guys just get it out.
Yeah, I love cults, so it's, yeah, like, based on the Heaven's Gate thing. Yeah, I like the pacing. So aesthetically, it's like Hereditary with the miniatures. Like you said, I love Riley Keough and how they don't show her into the car. I thought the kids were okay. I like Jaden Martell. But
well, I'll say they were good at acting. I just hated the characters.
True.
I'll
so
say that.
Can I spoil the ending in my thing?
Oh, I don't care.
I just don't want to spoil for Kevin.
He's never going to watch it.
Read the ending.
Okay. I didn't know what their end game was. If they wanted her to kill herself or what, but just, I didn't mind the twist, and I thought the ending, like, last 20 minutes were very, like, chilling. And I liked the atmosphere of it, but there was too much stuff here where I just didn't really know what the film was trying to say.
Oh, good. That makes two of us.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll start off. We know I'm not the biggest horror fan, and I have a lot of problems with horror films.
Okay.
Because my argument is, if you're supposed to get out of the house, get out of the house! Simple concept! Start going just leave! Get
but it's too
out!
Cold.
Again, they kept telling me that, and I'm like, these kids are like, oh, and she's like, I don't have my winter coat. Well, where's your winter coat? Why are you leaving a house without a winter coat? What moron does that? Oh, I don't have a winter coat. I'm just going to walk anyway. And I'm going to bring a bottle of water? Really? It's minus 30 or something, whatever temperature. They bring a bottle of water? Like, I had so many issues with this film. Other than I don't like slow-moving horror. I need slaughtering early. I need teenagers dropping.
Suicide.
That's about all I had. And I had another hour of me trying to stay awake during this. Nothing did anything for me. I thought, okay, the dad's going to come back. They drop his ass. I'm like, okay, great. Now the kids. And then we get to the end of the film. It's the only part I even found interesting was the very end. Other than that, I was bored. I'm like, is this just a Shining, a bad delusional trip with the Shining? It's the same film.
Yeah, but you just saw.
I just don't have Danny Torrance and his big wheel riding around. Or a bar scene with Jack Nicholson getting a drink. I need those. This is boring. Absolutely put me to sleep.
Sorry. But you have Grady, the dog's name.
Yeah. Just these slow-moving horrors are not for me. I mean, and Hereditary. Oh, they opened it up with the miniatures. I'm like, am I watching Hereditary again?
Yeah.
I really got a Hereditary feel. I mean, I like Hereditary better as a film. I did enjoy that more. I don't find any interest in these slow-moving horrors. I know horror fans love them. I don't. I didn't find any. Ryan Keough was excellent. But her character keeps making bad decisions and bad decisions. And the kids make bad decisions. And like, and what dad leaves his kids on Christmas to go work? That doesn't happen. Okay, I'm going to drive you up to this cabin. I'm just going to bail on you?
with the
Steve. That was my only issue. That was my big issue with the movie was, if the father's an author, what job did he have to do that would take him to the city that he couldn't, you know, telecommute?
I agree. And then he's like, oh, I got to get back? I'm like, buddy, your cabin is in up north in this, like, snow belt. You got, like, I just don't understand who would go to this cabin in the middle of winter. It does not make any sense to me to go there. None.
Bonding.
Like, zero. They can't get the roads plowed. This is not like, this looks like a summer lodge, buddy. I'm really thinking summer cabin here.
Well, you did say that the film is just people making bad decisions. I think that was every character in the movie.
Yes.
Nobody made good decisions.
What
I mean, the father starts a relationship with the subject of one of his books.
Yep.
The mother commits suicide. The children torture their father's new girlfriend.
Yep.
And she tries her best, but in the end succumbs to not having her medicines and going out into the elements. It's just poor decisions from every character.
No interest. Yeah. They could torch them all. Just torch the house and move along. I'll be fine.
And that's what I just didn't really get. Like, when okay, I get that you're trying to convince her that she's crazy, but it's like, she really thinks she's in purgatory. What was the end game here?
And, well, they didn't think it through. They're kids. They didn't think of the consequences.
And here's my argument. This is the first time she has ever had the kids. Because she's the dad just bails. I'm kind of like, so you got your kids, you got your new wife to come up, your fiance, I don't think they're married yet, and you bail? Again, it doesn't happen. Like, what dad's going to just leave his kids with somebody he loves? They don't know her. They're meeting her for the first time, almost. I think that's the first time they met her.
Yeah, because they didn't want to before, yeah.
Ridiculous nonsense throughout this film.
Yeah, you know, but like you said, like, horror fans like slow-moving. Like, I like slow-moving films when I care about the story, but this is just a bit, it feels like it meanders for too long for me. But, I mean, I think I gave it a 6, but it's disappointing because I didn't love it. But I don't think I hated it, but it's just, yeah, disappointing.
Okay. So, Doug, since your kids are on quarantine, and so are mine, are they getting bad educations, do you think?
Not the kind Hugh Jackman gives.
Bad Education, directed by Corey Finley, starring Hugh Jackman, Allison Janney, Ray Romano, Annalee Ashford, and Geraldine Viswanathan.
Well, before we even start, Corey Finley has taken like a big change from Thoroughbreds to this.
Yeah, like, but I think it still keeps with like comedy and the crime a little bit.
I don't know. I didn't find it. It is, you know what? You're probably right. It's got very similar pacing as Thoroughbreds and stuff. But before we go on, Kevin, your turn. You're up.
I'm up. I have to go first.
Yeah. Oh.
I enjoyed this. I thought it was. I mean, it's sort of a comedy. It's about this well beloved. I guess he's a comptroller for the school board, and so the. And he's based in a local high school, and they're obviously raising on Long Island, and they're obviously raising the scores of the students. They're doing very well. It's a prosperous community. He's beloved. He remembers every student's name, every student's ambition, all that. But there's something funny going on behind the scenes, he damned himself by telling that one student to follow her passion and research and come up from it. Like, if she finds a story, to make it a big deal. And so she gradually uncovers the fact that he and other members of the upper board were skimming money from the school. And the more you dig into it, the more bizarre and corrupt it is. So, you know, it turns out that he's led this whole double life. He has a husband in the city, and they pay a company for research and development, and that pays for the apartment and their lavish lifestyle. And he uses school board money to take trips across the country, and he has a boyfriend in Las Vegas who's a former student. and he's planning to take a trip to England with him and first class and like all these different things. But it's Alice and Jenny who gets caught first. And there's a great scene where she's sweating it out, and he's, of course, he knows exactly what's wrong. And he's trying to cover for her by sort of pinning the blame on her, but trying to, you know, make it as bad, like not as bad as it sounds. Like he's only making it, what, like maybe 25,000 or something like that, when it's in fact millions of dollars that they've siphoned off. So, and of course she gets caught because her dumb son puts everything on his on the school's credit card.
Yeah.
And claims it for home renovation. So, it was just one thing after another and just uncovers a whole level of corruption that, you know, people think that people do things for good intentions, and sometimes people are just greedy. You know, and I don't think he was a bad person. I think he did mean well for the students of that school, but I think he saw an opportunity and milked it.
Yeah, I want to go back to a couple of points. First off, the woman was really a guy in real life at the school that wrote the article. Alice and Janney's son is just a moron. Like, they wouldn't like, and the thing I didn't think they really, but you know the character that bugs Alice and Janney saying her son really wants a PlayStation?
Yeah, the niece.
Or an Xbox?
Her niece, yeah.
I'm like, what? I wanted to know a little bit more about her. How does she fit in? She just works there?
No, she's her niece.
It is her niece. So why is she using the credit card? Like, I'm like, Alice and Jenny's like, oh, don't worry about it. I'm like, but then it's her niece. But Hugh Jackman comments on the necklace she's wearing during the movie at one point. Oh, that looks new. Isn't that a thing? I'm like, okay. So that's the one thing I wasn't sure at the beginning. If Hugh Jackman was going to be the guy to figure it out, or he was the bad guy. Because I'm like, it's got to be, Alice and Jenny got caught so early. I'm like, hey, where's this going at that point? And I just never found it interesting at all. You know, I got it. I thought it was a very basic story. I mean, I thought it was well acted. I don't want to take anything away from the actors. I thought they were all very well done at all times. I didn't ever become engaged. I thought it was interesting, but I felt I could write it on Wiki and got the same thing I did, and maybe a little bit more depth on the Wiki. You guys there? Uh-oh. Guys? Hello? Uh-oh. Stop.
What happened?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, great. You're back?
There you go.
Okay, hold on. Just let me hit record again.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because I stopped it, but my other record's going. Okay. Okay, go ahead. Daniel, you got to edit. Your problem.
And no worries.
I agreed with you. I did interview with there, Simon. I think that this was a very engaging movie. I was definitely interested all the way through to want to see how this ended up. But it was just me.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. My problem is, I think, like another film we're going to discuss later, I think it focused on a less interesting lead character. I thought the student Rachel would have been a more interesting lead character to follow through this movie.
Yeah.
But I did really enjoy Hugh Jackman's performance. It was kind of fun to see him play kind of a slimy character after being a nice guy in a lot of his films.
I'm with you on that one, Doug. I wish she had a different lead. I think I would like better.
I thought she got enough to do, though.
The scene where she goes to his apartment in the city, I thought that was the best scene in the movie. The tension and the way she performed it, I loved that scene.
I thought she might have got away with it at one point. I really thought it was in. I think my favorite scene is when they're grilling his partner in the police station. It's probably if I had to pick a favorite scene.
Okay.
I like that when he was and goes, nope, I can't tell you anything. And he pulls out the phone and goes, you want to talk about this? And that was game over.
I loved all of this. I thought I never read about the news story because of 2002. So I was like 8, I think. So yeah, I never heard about the news story, but I think I still would have been as interested if I had read about it, because to me, this is an interesting story. And, I thought the way that they dealt with Hugh Jackman and his vanity, I thought that was really interesting, and just you probably do this on a teacher's salary too, right? Just to get the lavish lives. I thought that was interesting, and I like Corey Finley's direction.
I thought Doug would have heard about the story by living in the tri-state area, because this got big play down there.
I don't really remember it, but I'm sure it did get in the news a lot.
Because it's Rosalind on Long Island, yeah.
Okay.
How much did they steal by the end of it? $11 million and all?
Something insane. And then Hugh Jackman still gets his pension of $192,000 a year, even in jail.
Yeah, and then Jenny's character, he's out now of jail. But yeah, Jenny's character gets like $55,000, and I think she donates half of it back to the people just to try to make up for what she's done. But
I don't think he's donating anything. I think he's keeping all that cash.
No, I think my favorite scene, or one of them, was when he was talking with Romano on the bleachers, and he was just saying, oh, it started with this. I used the wrong credit card, and then no one noticed, and then a bagel, and then it just steamrolled. I thought that was really interesting.
That's a big load of crap is what that is.
No, but it's good writing.
It is. Yeah. I don't go from charging a bagel to stealing $800,000 in a month. You know, I never got to that point.
No.
So, Dan, how's the platform of your house? Is it still going up and down?
Yeah, but it goes really down.
Well, that's what happens when you dig a sub basement.
Big, big basement. this is our Netflix movie. Do you want to play the music or no?
Oh, yeah, I was totally unprepared, but I will play some Netflix music just for you guys. See, I got to be more prepared. I got Blockbuster music ready, but I don't have
We can
Netflix.
Sing it together. Netflix.
Yeah, I don't know where it is, so you're going to have to sing it. We're going to Netflix. I have Blockbuster prepared, but not Netflix.
We'll just do the Netflix. Boom.
There you go. I don't know where it is.
The Platform, starring Yvonne Massagu, Zorian Aguilar, Antonia San Juan, Emilio Buali, and Alexandra Massingay.
You know what? My Netflix music has magically disappeared. That's why I can't find it. Oh, well. I'll get new. Don't worry.
Okay.
So, who wants to start with The Platform? Kevin?
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to see this, even though it was on Netflix.
So, okay. I will start with The Platform. I friggin' love this film. Oh, my God. This was awesome. I think I watched it on a Friday night. I was going to go, to start this film. I could not stop watching this. Absolutely love this concept. I loved how they introduced the character, how he just started. You don't really know anything, and he just shows up. And I'm like, what is going on? And the platform's going up, and the platform's going down. And he's got the crazy cannibal that lives with him. And it's disgusting everything. And I'm kind of like, okay. And then I was kind of like, where's this going? And I'm really getting into it. And then I didn't realize, he goes, and then he talks the whole story about the sharpest knife ever. And then they brought out a sharper, sharper knife. I'm like, what am I watching? I love this thing. And then when the food goes down, I started learning things, right? Discussing floors and how the food works. I didn't know, brother, he takes a piss all over it. I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? This is awesome. And then when you get later in the movie, then I realized they get different roommates all the time. I thought that was great, and I liked the roommate that explained everything to us and who was each person and this is how everything works. I thought that was really well done. And my favorite scene is when the guy goes to climb up, throw the rope, and he's trying to climb up, and the guy takes a big crap on him. I'm like, what the hell? And I liked the whole way they show people gorge food. On the top levels, and I'm talking just see those scenes when they grab the cake and they slow it down, they're shoving it in their faces, literally gorging. So well done, this film. My biggest problem with it, which is not a minor problem, I didn't like the end. I really wish it had a little bit more defined ending, and I would have loved this film. But I would still recommend it to people to watch it. I just think it needs more defined ending.
Yeah, I have to look up what the ending meant, because I knew, I had a hunch of what it was, but I just had to look it up to be like, okay, so kids are the future. So,
yes.
You got but it. I thought this was, I wasn't sure if this was going to be just be a vertical version of Snowpiercer, but I love that it was just its own film. It's very creative, very original. I loved how it blurred the comedy and the horror. I loved it when the first roommate was like, it's obvio. I thought that was really good. Yeah, and I was interested to learn that it was more like a rehab facility than a prison, and just how they get their, this is to get their diploma, they'd have, this is how they get jobs if they survive the whole, I thought that was interesting. And yeah, I agreed with about the ending. But when they're going down, that was just, that was awesome.
Doug?
I'll be honest, I didn't really care for this movie. I thought, I didn't really get the reason why people were in there. I wasn't sure if it was a jail or the one guy went in there voluntarily because he wanted to quit smoking. But then I wasn't sure about the other characters. Like, is it a prison? Is it like Daniel said, a rehab place? I didn't get the concept of the tower or the hole or whatever it is.
Okay.
I like the visuals of the movie, but I just didn't really understand the nature of the story, if I'm honest.
No, I have to agree with you. I think it is a prison, but I think it's prisoners that go out their sentence reduced. They go do this, you're good. It's also a rehab place. I mean, there's people that bring the storage and the bats. I mean, that last half an hour, it goes insane.
Yeah.
Like, that's a full-on my kind of movie. Just let's throw it all out here and go nuts.
But then why was his, I guess, second cellmate put in the cell? The woman who interviewed him.
That's pretty easy.
I didn't get why she was in the
tower. She's dying of cancer and she just wanted to see what it was about. And we need the exposition. We really need to understand how the food worked. And she goes, that's what we asked for, your favorite dish. And you see them preparing everybody's favorite dish on the platform. So you always can have what you want as you move. And I needed that. Without that, I don't think the film works. Because I wanted to understand why the food. Like, you know what I mean? That's what I like. So if fried chicken's your favorite thing, there's always fried chicken on there. You just may not get it.
Yeah. And she was there to explain, like, she thought it was solidarity in here, but she didn't know how crazy it was. But, I definitely had to. Sorry, go ahead.
But haven't you noticed every roommate wanted something different? She rationed everything for everybody and said, look, this will work if everybody rations. So that's one society's view. The first guy was the gluttony guy. That's his society view. And the third guy was meet in the middle. Okay, let's try this out. I really think it's a take on society.
Yeah, and it's all very dependent on where you are in on the levels. And I thought that was great. And didn't the first guy, didn't he say he had a choice between the hole or a mental asylum?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And he was crazy. He was bonkers. I liked him a lot.
I think I would love to get Kevin's opinion on this film. I wish he did watch it because I think he would really like it.
Sorry.
It's all right. You were busy with the cat.
No, I had a bunch of stuff going on this week, too. I got a new air conditioner.
I know. You have a life besides the show. You're loud.
So I had just a couple more thoughts. I do agree that I had to pause it a little bit to try to understand it. But once I, like, was caught up with everything, it was good. But also, my question is, I'm a very picky eater. Did any of this food actually appeal to you guys, even at the top floor?
Yes, the top floor, because, Dan, it would have your favorite food on it, though. There's my argument.
Chicken fingers.
Well, then chicken fingers would be on the top. You're probably in the top five. Get them. I mean, my argument is you can only eat so much food, and you have 2 minutes. I think it's 2 minutes before the platform goes down.
Sometimes it doesn't even seem like not either.
And you can't keep food. Remember you kept the apple and it went really cold? And then the dog stole something once and it went really cold. He's like, where the effing dog? And they had to throw the food down or it cools the room. So, I mean, you have 2 minutes to eat. So you're going to eat. You have no choice, Dan. You say you're picky, but you have options. But when you're on the top, I mean, you're on the bottom. You're going to be eating chicken bones just to eat.
My cellmate might look better than the food, you know?
Well, I don't know. The guy with the sword, I hope you brought a sword.
Yeah, I've been going on infomercials for nice, you know?
Yes. So, like I said, I'm fully recommending the platform.
Yeah.
Is it time, Daniel?
For the phone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody has the movie I want.
Hey, nobody.
Video Blockbuster probably has it. I mean, we have over 10,000 videos.
Wow.
I'll watch these fast and have them back tomorrow.
That's like Doug's house.
Relax at Blockbuster. You can
see videos
every evening, so take home plenty. And use our 24-hour quick trip.
Okay, that's enough of that. So now we're in the vault.
Are we hiding behind the shadow?
We are hiding the – only the shadow knows. Kevin, did
shadow.
You watch the shadow?
Oh.
Can I ask you just... why is shadow in the video vault?
Well, I don't know. Oh. Talk to Daniel.
It was 2019. I wasn't really sure.
It's a new movie.
Okay, so two are new movies then. So,
well, video vault would be like more than a few years.
Okay, so. See, I thought it was the okay. So no vault. But anyway,
too late now. I'm not
shadow, sure. Directed by Yimou Zhang, starring Cho Dang, Lee Sun, and Ryan Zhang. Those are the only names I could pronounce.
Kevin, Shadow?
Nope, didn't see this one either.
Too busy. Doug?
I'll be honest. This is the other movie I thought followed the wrong character.
Woo! Yes! Somebody agrees with me.
I found the princess much more interesting than the general's wife and the fake general. I didn't think those characters were interesting at all. I really would have much rather followed the princess's story and about how she felt about being sold off to the son of the other warlord. The movie, I thought, it was visually striking, but I've seen other films by this director, House of the Flying Daggers, Hero.
Oh, is this him?
And
yeah.
And oh, The Great Wall.
I've seen all those films.
Those I all thought were much more visually appealing. I didn't really like the black and white of this film. I thought if you're gonna go black and white, go all the way. Why colorize the skin tones of the characters? Probably this was my least favorite film that I've seen by this director, I'll be honest.
I have to agree with Doug. Wow.
Even less than Great Wall?
Great Wall had crazy Willem Dafoe.
No, Great Wall is a piece of junk.
Yeah, but it had crazy Willem Dafoe. Okay.
Isn't that the Matt Damon movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
First, his only English one, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Matt Damon owed somebody a favor movie.
I gotta say, I'm watching the trailer, and this does look really good.
Shadow?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, aesthetically, it's amazing looking film. I love the look of this film, and I just wrote that in my review. I didn't find the story interesting at all. I thought it very basic, but I love the look. I think this film is all show, less substance. And I have to agree with Doug. I thought the lead general was just kind of like the king, or whatever. It was just boring. I'm like, I've seen this character 100 times. He doesn't do anything, and I thought the guy's master was the same thing. You got to train harder. And I just thought he was pulling on tropes from old Chinese movies I had seen. But when they get to the action scenes, I love the action scenes. I think they're beautiful to look at. Mm. I like that. It's got to be all computerized. They must be shooting green screen 24/7 on this. I love their use of rain. I love their use of battle. But again, I think the film lacks depth because the character is just doing cliche moves constantly, speaking cliches, and acting like an utter jackass for no reason.
I thought I was interested by the characters. I haven't seen a lot of, what are these called, Wuxia movies? The ancient Chinese ones?
I've seen many.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of these, so I don't know if that has to do with it, but I really like the characters. I like the characters. I thought they were interesting. Yeah, the princess was probably my favorite here, but I also thought, like, just the body double stuff was interesting, but it's gorgeous. That's why I picked it for this. Just how they do the rain, how they use the umbrellas, and like the action was just
the action's awesome. But again, I need more substance than just action.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I love this one though. action, and I thought the characters interest me, just the unpredictable king. I thought it was interesting enough.
Fair enough. I mean, this is okay. I guess we're moving off to our third foreign language film. Thank you, Daniel. I love reading. Since it's your list, we got to announce that. That is our third foreign language film, and the one that Kevin, did you watch Monos? No, Kevin's too busy to read foreign language.
It's,
I guess you're right, Daniel.
Starring Moises Arias, Julianne Nicholson, and Sophia Buenaventura. See, I didn't mean to give you guys four movies to read, but I just didn't want to wait. I wanted to share Shadow and Mono, so I didn't want to wait to put this on.
Which is fine.
Did you want me to start?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I love this movie. Just the visuals of it, just how they when they're on the mountain, and just how it looks as they shoot it on the mountain. And I thought the adventure was very good when they actually went off the mountain. And I just like the Lord of the Flies vibe it gives because it's loosely based on that. I like the adolescence, and I just thought it was interesting how it's like war, it's unpredictable. If I had any complaints, I think I didn't really understand what military branch they were with or if they were just rebels. But I don't know, I thought the characters were interesting. I thought it was surprisingly funny. I love the look, and I love the story of this.
I'll get Doug's going last. I hated this film, as you know. Oh, my God.
I know.
I thought this was pointless. Absolutely pointless at times. I'm like, I just don't care. I don't have any interest in any of these characters. I think this whole film is dumb. I think this film lacks direction, purpose. I'm wondering why somebody put money into this film at one point. I'm like, I just hate it. The only part I really enjoyed is when the one guy escapes and hangs out with the other family further downriver. Yes. I like that part. That's the only part we've seen I even enjoyed in the whole film. And then it just abruptly ends and we reboot it. I'm like, oh boy, I am bored. I have really nothing. I have read an hour and a half of this going, I'm going to kill Daniel. I'm going to kill him for this one. I do not like this film. I find most of the characters kind of look alike. I thought they were all dumb. I didn't like the one guy training was kind of interesting. Then they take him out. I'm like, oh, okay. But I wanted more of him. The one guy I liked, the commander, is the only guy I really enjoyed. He doesn't show up that much.
But it's about the kids, so they can't have him holding their hand. And the whole time.
Those kids are annoying. They sleep on rocks. They throw rocks at each other. They call the one guy fat and tie him up. I'm just like, I don't care.
I guess I'm in between you guys. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. I did like the juxtaposition between the innocence of childhood and the horrors of actual warfare and violence. I like those aspects. And I did enjoy the visuals. I thought it was very visually appealing, especially like the jungle stuff. I like the jungle stuff. I like the river stuff in particular. When La Doctora is swimming and kind of lures in her captor and then turns the tables on her. I thought that was just visually striking, just watching the legs slowly stop kicking, and I enjoyed it. I didn't love it, but I enjoyed it.
I can't wait to see a movie with Doug in the movie theater and us going to that great sandwich place, hitting the record button, and discussing the movie right after we walk out.
Nice.
I don't see what you're seeing, Doug. I know the scene you're talking about. I just went, care.
I love that scene. I thought Moises Arias, he's picking a lot of good roles.
Who's Moises Arias?
Rico from Hannah Montana. He played,
How the hell do you think I watched Hannah Montana? Do I look 10?
Well, I'm just saying, and he was in Kings of Summer. I'm just, like, post Hannah Montana, I like the roles that he takes.
You've seen Kings of Summer?
Yeah. I saw it in theaters.
I'm impressed.
Why?
Just not a film I expected to see.
I know. I love Kings of Summer.
Okay. Continuing on to a movie. Actually, you want to save your favorite movie for the end, Kevin?
we're really into the vault.
All right, we're in the vault now. So what's the first movie in the vault?
I'll give you a choice. Do you want the old one or the new one?
Just go in the order it's on the list.
True Lies, Kevin's favorite film of the year. Whatever year it came out.
Favorite film.
94, yeah? One of the best years in film, I think. Starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jamie Lee Curtis, Tom Arnold, Liza Dushku, Phil Paxton, Tia Carey, and Art Malik.
Who's Art Malik in this film? The boss?
The main villain.
Oh, and you forgot Charlton Heston.
It was far down the list. I forgot.
Charlton Heston as Nick Fury, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
All right, I'll kick it off.
Oh, we know you are.
Oh, okay. It's funny that this film isn't available digitally.
Nope.
So you have to find a DVD copy. I don't think it ever was released on Blu-ray either.
Nope.
No, not yet.
Everything.
So it's one you got to look for. And it's funny because it was a big hit. It was a massive film at the time. I think maybe it's just some of the elements are maybe out of time or out of popular opinion. There's certain things he does with his wife where she dances as a stripper and stuff like that, that you're almost as uncomfortable as he is watching her dance. She's very attractive. Jamie Lee Curtis was very pretty in this one. She's definitely in shape. He's a secret agent, very confident, leads a double life, has a family, a wife and a daughter. The two worlds don't meet, and suddenly something happens that causes the two of them to overlap, and his wife gets drawn into it, and then his daughter gets kidnapped. It's very, I think it's probably very, I wouldn't say it's anti-Muslim, but it's very, the villains are Muslim terrorists. So I think maybe that's part of it, is its connections to 9/11, is villainizing Arabic people. But I'm not sure. I think a villain is a villain. I'm not sure exactly. That guy was a villain. He was a terrorist. So his motives were pretty clear. Anyway, I love this movie. Tom Arnold, probably the best thing that he's ever done in his life.
100%.
Never like that. The action is top-notch. I mean, the scenes with the fighter jet, and his daughter falls out of it, and you can definitely tell they use, Cameron is a stickler for authenticity. You can definitely tell they used a real jet in some of the scenes, and she was dangling off it for part of it. Young Eliza Dushku, before she went on to, some fame in Buffy and films like, Bring It On and The New Guy and stuff, but, I thoroughly entertaining. I can't recommend this enough. I hope at some point there's a nice digital transfer, nice 4K transfer.
Maybe when the Douglas?
I mean, Arnold rides a horse in an elevator. What more do you want? It's fantastic. Yeah. What more can you add?
Yeah. You want to go to seven?
I have lots to add. Doug's saying, I do want to say, Jamie Lee Curtis's wardrobe is all her own.
That's all. Really?
She brought her own wardrobe. I did do a little bit more research. I did have small issues with this film. Not a lot. I mean, I love this film. I'm not going to even go. I just wish it's the home life thing. I have a little bit of an issue. I understand that's the whole plot. I get it. I like the Bill Paxton scenes, but I didn't think they were great. And I like how they bring him back and he pisses his pants again the second time, because I totally forgotten about that. I thought that works well. Tina Carrere just stands out like a sore thumb in everything she does. She cannot act.
I thought she was okay.
She's okay. But, I mean, Tom Arnold acts around her in this movie, so that tells me there's a problem right there.
Nina and Lilo and Stitch. That's what I know her from.
But I think this movie is a solid 90s action. I miss these kind of films. I think the action is seamless, but that's why we all love Cameron's action. He is good at what he films. I like his shots, that helicopter shot when Jamie Lee Curtis is hanging out of the chopper. That's really her on her birthday. I did some reading. I'm like, that is amazingly shot. I don't see that nowadays. I mean, much as people want to crap on Cameron, I'm like, I like his shooting. I always enjoy it. I think he paces his film well. The scene with the horse is excellent, even though Arnold almost fell off in one take, fell 30 feet down because the horse stopped and he kept going.
Sure.
I thought that was well done. I mean, my only issue is looking back at this, watching it, the CGI doesn't hold up. But, I mean, it's 30 years later. Obviously, it's not going to hold up. You know, but I mean, that Jamie Lee Curtis dance scene, watching it as an old adult, like, oh my God, this is not okay with me. I have to agree with Gavin. I was like, not okay with this, not okay with this.
Yeah.
And she, yeah, she looks amazing. I strongly recommend this film to everybody. If you haven't seen it, please watch this. Stop watching crap like The Lodge and Bad Education. And even The Platform for that matter. Go see True Lies.
Yeah, I know I watched this as a kid. But I think the only parts I remembered were the horse and the jet with the lazy douche poo. I had my palms sweating. Like, I knew she would be okay, but I was just like, oh, my God. It's filmed very well, and I just don't think the green screen is obvious. And I just, you know, like, and especially with Jamie Lee Curtis on the copter with, like, comedies like Spy or 22 Jump Street when they do the copter. Green screen's so obvious, but it looks so good here, you know.
Go ahead.
I missed that in action.
I just want to add, I mean, Kevin may remember when this film came out. I remember going to my friends going, did you kill any bad guys? Yes, but they were all bad. Did you kill anyone? We remember saying that line, like, for days after seeing this movie, me and the kids, the neighborhood kids. I think Arnold was at his best around this time. I mean, this proved to me now. I mean, this is why Arnold's a king for us and always will be.
So much fun.
So my question is, do we mention the controversy surrounding the movie now?
What controversy?
With Eliza Dushku. With Eliza Dushku?
I don't know it.
She has accused the stunt coordinator of molesting her when she was a child.
Ugh.
While making this film.
Well, why would she lie about it? That's one thing I don't see what she'd get from it.
I don't know. I tend to believe the victims when they speak up because what do they have to gain from
it? Well, it's not like Eliza Dushku needs cash either. You know what I mean? That's the issue. But I mean, Eliza Dushku's a pretty established person. I mean, she still works to this day. And I probably would believe her in this one. Sometimes I kind of like, oh, that's her, the other side. Let's do some investigation. But sounds correct.
I think there's plausibility to it, because didn't she break a few ribs on the jet scene?
I don't know.
That's what I read, on the, at least on the, I didn't do much research on it, but I saw it on the IMDb, like, trivia page, and she said that she broke a few ribs, because, like, I guess he was the spider, trying to spider or something, because she told someone, and he was probably mad about it.
Well, you shouldn't be doing stupid things like that. Keep your hands to yourself, you dummy. And she'd go to jail. That's the end of it. Okay, well, on a happier note, this film you can find on YouTube.
Nosferatu, starring Max Schreck, Gustav von Wangenheim, and Greta Schroeder. The last movie I made you guys read.
Thanks. Kevin didn't have time for this either, probably.
No, I've seen it, and I actually watched it while we were talking.
Oh, just Pardon. Now. Okay, go ahead, Kev.
It's a silent movie, so... all you hear is piano playing in the background. For the year, for 1922, the art direction was fantastic. The set design is very good. You see the best of the German expressionist movement in some of the designs. And of course, Count Orloff's makeup is fantastic. He's terrifying. It's basically the Bram Stoker Dracula story with the names changed.
Yeah.
You know, Hutton or whatever his name is, the real estate agent is the same guy that was in the Keanu Reeves character in the Bram the Coppola remake and so forth. And so it's okay for a silent film. I find silent films really kind of boring, and the speed isn't ever quite right. You know, even when in talking scenes, there it's like sped up and slowed down in a weird way. There are a couple of different versions on YouTube that you can watch. There's one which is really great, the HD one, and they put in black bars, and the film quality is fantastic.
That's
and then
the
there's
one
another one. which I think is Best Classics is the one. But there's also one from Timeless Classic Movies, and it's all, the film is all grainy and brownish. It's not very good. So as a historical artifact, amazing. As the birth of horror movies, sure, you have to go back and check some of this stuff out. Vampire movies, okay, it's like, Dracula in the novel and in the later film adaptations is a seductive character. Orloff is not, he's ugly. He's very bat-like. So he looks a lot more like, Varney, who's one of the earliest vampires in lore, with a bat, like he's got the teeth and the pointy ears and everything. So I don't know. I, as a curiosity, it's worth checking out, as are some of the other films of Murnau, like Cabinet of Dr. Caligari and things like that. If you want to look at cool design and something that's different in the history of film, worth looking at. But if you're looking for something that's going to entertain you for an hour and a half, I'm not sure this is going to do that.
I agree. Who wants to go? I guess I can go next. I'll be quick. I think this is like the Dracula, the hack version. Because if you hadn't read the Dracula story and going to see this in the movies, I don't think you have any idea what's going on half the time. It gives you just highlights. It's really, it doesn't have a lot of depth to it. It's like, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. The film ends. And I thought it looked nice, but I really didn't feel it had a good flow to it at times. I found it choppy at times. And that was my biggest issue with it. I'm like, yeah, this looks great. I like the shooting style. I like this. I'm just like, if I did not know the Dracula story, I think I would be lost watching this.
Okay.
So that's all I have to say. I mean, I think you should watch it just for its aesthetic. It's like Shadow. Watch it because it looks nice.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I watched this for the first time. I think this is the oldest feature film I've seen from, so 1922.
I'm ahead of you.
Sorry?
I'm ahead of you still.
Yeah, I know. I haven't watched many silent films. I think only this and The Artist, so from 2011.
Got some work to put in.
Yeah, I know. And I like the score a lot. I thought, I was definitely bored at times. I thought I was most interested when Nosferatu was on screen.
Oh,
and
nice.
Yeah, the whole plague aspect, I thought that was interesting for a vampire movie. But I was surprised that I enjoyed this, because it's probably not something I usually like, but I think I like this better than the 1933 Invisible Man, just because, to me it feels, no, I'm just saying, because this is actually, to me this is actually horror. It's scary. I thought the imagery of Nosferatu was haunting. It was creepy.
Oh, I agree.
And I think I went into
horror.
Sorry?
Look at Frankenstein.
No, I haven't seen all that. No, I'm just saying, like, I went into The Invisible Man expecting scary. And it didn't get scary.
Okay.
So I think that was just my expectations. But, like, I assume if horror is one of the genres, it's scary. But, and I thought Nosferatu was scary. So that's why I prefer this over Invisible Man.
Fair enough. Doug?
This is a movie for me that there are visuals in it that just stick with me. Count Orlok coming up the stairs in the shadow, that's just an image that stays with me long after I see the film. It's one of the more visually striking vampire movies I've seen. And for that alone, like you said, I recommend it. The story is simple, but definitely recommend it for the visuals.
Okay. I think we have a few minutes for trivia. You guys want to do some trivia tonight? I got more cards. See, right here.
If you want a weird silent film, there's a 1910 Frankenstein, probably one of the earliest films.
Ooh, that I have not seen. My earliest is 1914.
It's only about 12 and a half minutes long.
I'll watch it.
It's hard to see it sometimes, even in the best restorations. But the monster is bizarre. It looks like a weird hobo.
Really?
The deformed head kind of looks like Captain Caveman, actually, now you think about it.
There also looks like me.
Okay, guys, ready for some trivia before we get out of here?
All right.
Name the actor who appeared in all the following films: Blazing Saddles, High Anxiety, and Spaceballs.
Mel Brooks.
That is correct. One for Doug. One ad for this film read, she didn't believe in angels until she fell in love with one.
Heaven Can Wait.
I don't think so. Oh, I didn't even know. Anybody? City of Angels. Name the 1978 cult classic that has fruit banding together to kill human beings.
Oh, Killer Tomatoes?
That is correct. 1-1. Playing to 3. What movie involves space, an embryo, and a monolith?
2001.
Correct. Doug's got 2. One tagline from this film read, when mom goes to work, dad goes berserk.
Mom and dad?
Come on, Kev. Mr. Mom. Okay, continuing on. Name the actor who appeared in all the following films: Charlie's Angels, Kingpin, and Wild
Things. Bill
Murray. Correct. Daniel's got 2.
We did this one already.
Oh, sorry, my bad. You don't get a point for that.
On another episode.
On this ad for this 1966 film read, travel back through time to the edge of man's beginnings, discover a savage world whose only...
We've already done this one. Yeah. 10,000 years BC.
Kevin is right. What famous phrase is on Mel Blanc's tombstone?
That's all, folks.
2-2. All right. Last question. Somebody will get it. Name... it's too easy. Name the Al Pacino thriller that had this tagline. In search of a killer, he found someone who's either the love of his life or the end of it.
Sea of Love.
Doug wins. Okay. Doug, you win. You won this week. And if they make it...
We do trivia on it.
Fair enough. Good night, guys.